For the next 30 minutes, listen to another colorful adventure story from the works of the world's favorite Western author, Dane Gray. Mutual presents The Zane Grey Show, featuring the adventures of Tex Thorne. The lusty cow town called Purple Sage sprawls along the roaring frontier where rutted trails rumble under the ceaseless movement west. The constant clanking of wagons, mules, oxen, urged by men seeking Rainbow's End, where beckoning fingers of sunset paint purple the gray slopes of unconquered Rockies. It's late morning now, and out on the rolling prairie, not far from Purple Sage itself, two ranchers, two neighbors are acting tough and leathery and hard themselves.
Listen, you long whippersnapper. You get off my land.
Surely. Just because you stick up fence posts on my ranch, that sure doesn't make it belong to you, Crockett.
You accusing me of being a thief?
I ain't accusing you of nothing. I'm just telling you. By Christmas, if you wasn't Mary's father, I'd do a lot more than tell you.
After this morning, my being Mary's father has nothing to do with you. Understand?
Doggone it, you and nobody else is coming between me and Mary.
I'm not wasting no more breath on you, Bemis. Now go on. Get back to your own place before I pick you up and throw you over that fence.
You try throwing, and you're going to find I can throw a few things myself.
Why, you loudmouth young Mary, threaten me, will you? Well, go on then. Feel your hand.
You blasted idiot! Slow there so fast.
You two been chewing loco weed or something?
Nix, I'm telling you, keep out of this.
This ain't got nothing to do with you, Thorn.
Heck, it hasn't. Any time I see two friends of mine and neighbors at that starting to crawl each other's humps, I should smile. It's my business.
Well, Crockett's trying to fence off my land.
I don't want to tell you again. Straddle your pony and get riding.
Okay, Tex.
Now you're talking. And after you've both cooled off, I'd advise you to sit down and talk out whatever this is, face to face.
Talk?
Well, I'm late with the mail now, and I'm hungry enough to eat an unskinned bear. So if you two will behave, I'm heading for Purple Sage and Liz Tyler's best for this dinner. Why, that's good coffee, Liz. Just thin enough to go down slick as a newborn calf's ear and strong enough to keep me awake.
Tex, did you hear anything in San Pablo about the railroad? You know, there's talk of the railroad building a little closer to Purple Sage.
Yeah, so the talk runs, and I wish it had stopped.
Stop? Why?
Starting to cause trouble on this range. Jack Bemis and Sam Crockett are ready to spray lead over it. Never had fences between their two outfits till this railroad rumor started spreading.
You mean they put up fences now after all these years?
Yep, each seems to think the railroad might buy right away out there. And to me, Liz, liking them both, it spells trouble. Well, I'd better be getting over to Angus' shop, picking up Topaz in the mail, and riding again.
Oh, goodbye, Tex. See you tomorrow.
You sure better, Miss Tyler. Well, Angus, I'm all set. Got you slung on the saddle and rare to go.
Well, good riding, lad. And see if you can pick up any more news in San Pablo about the railroad.
I'll find out what I can, Angus, but I don't believe in spreading rumors.
Huh?
Well, if the railroad does come, it means they're going to buy land here. Buying land means paying money. And when someone's paying money... Well, I've seen it down in Texas. The bloodiest range war between neighbors that ever happened.
Aye. Sometimes the only part of the golden rule even neighbors remember is the gold.
Right. Steady now, Topaz. So long, partner. All right, fella. It's a long way to San Pablo.
May God ride with you, Tex. Well, now I better get to shoeing some of these so-called quadrupeds.
Hey, Angus, howdy.
Good morning, Bemis.
Hey, wasn't that Tex Thorne I just saw riding out down the street?
Aye, it was Tex indeed.
Doggone it, I missed him by just a few seconds.
I wanted to catch him before he left for San Pablo.
More trouble between you and Sam Crockett?
No, sir. This is as far from trouble as anything can be.
Well, Tex Thorne doesn't knock on his horse too hard.
Well, then I'm riding out after him and overtaking him mighty soon.
That's it, Topaz. You're rolling along like a hobby horse. And this is too pretty a day to go dashing by and missing off. Hold it! Whoever threw that shot threw it at us.
Hey, come on! Hey, hold on!
What's the matter with you, Bemis? You out of your head using me as a target?
Blue
hair. Doggone it, Tex. I've been chasing you for miles. I got a little favor I want to ask of you.
I got a little favor I want to ask of you. Don't throw lead at me unless you want your lead back with interest.
Well, heck, I've been chasing you for 9 miles and not getting any closer.
Okay. Now, what's the favor?
Well, when you pick up the mail at San Pablo, there should be a little package addressed to me.
A package?
Yeah, from a Kansas City jeweler. Would you mind dropping it by my place instead of taking it all the way up to Purple Sage?
I'm not even supposed to stop out here and chew the rag with you.
Oh, come on now, Taxi. See, I gotta have that ring tomorrow night.
That ring? What are you up to, Jack?
Up to my neck in love. You see, after you left yesterday, I apologized to Sam Crockett. And now I got a date with Mary for tomorrow night. You know, I want that ring in my pocket.
Well, son, if that's the way you feel, go right ahead. But for me, footloose and just following the tumbleweed, no female woman is dabbing a rope on my car. Well, not for a while. Look, I'll get you that package, but I gotta be riding.
Oh, swell. I'll ride along with you up to the fork ahead and then turn off from my place. How come you feel that way about girls, Tex? I thought you and Liz Tyler would.
You let me do the thinking about Liz Tyler.
Hey, Tex, down there, isn't that someone with a sledge putting up fence on my land?
Yeah, looks like it is, Jack.
Doggone right it is. It's that old cat of Mount Sam Crockett. And by glory, I told him for the last time to keep...
Whoa, now, take it easy, Jack. You go flying off the handle and you're going to get yourself in wrong with the whole Crockett family.
Thinks he's going to grab some of my land and sell it to the railroad, does he? Well, I'm taking care of Crockett in short order. Let's go, boy.
Jack, you fool! Bemis, you're plumb loco.
Get up there!
Well, Topaz, if we stick our nose any further in his business, we'll end up in trouble, too. That locoed idiot. All right, boy. We've wasted enough time. Let's get started again for San Pablo. Stretch out there, Topaz. Let's run!
Come over. Dad's still furious about those names you called in today.
Oh, doggone it. He riled me putting fence on my land. I sent for a surveyor, didn't I? Well, anyhow, if I can cool off, I guess he can. The way I feel about you, God, we're not going to let anyone, not even your father, get us mad. Come on, Mary, I'll help you through the window.
Well, honestly, Jack, if Dad hears us...
You won't. Yeah, come on. That's it. Oh, Mary. Mary, I love you so much sometimes I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Mary! Mary, is that you outside?
Jack, it's my father.
Mary!
Yes, Dad, I'm here.
Mary, how did you get out there? I was in the parlor and you... What are you doing here, Bemis?
I came over to see Mary.
You sneaked over to see Mary. I told you this morning, young man, I didn't want you to set foot in my place again.
And I told you, you or no one else is going to stop me from seeing Mary.
Dad, Jack sent for a surveyor.
That's enough, Mary. You go inside. I'll talk to Bemis. I'll handle it.
Just a minute. You stay where you are, Mary. Anything your father's got to tell me, he can say in front of you.
Mary, I said go inside.
Dad, Why don't you listen to Jack and let him tell you what...
Oh, God, I never thought I'd have to raise a hand to a daughter of mine.
Why, you jug-headed old mule slapping Mary, I'll show you...
Young man, you lost your temper for the last time.
Dad, leave your gun alone.
No, let him go for his gun.
Dad!
Watch it now, Topaz. Here's the gate to Jack Bemis' place. In there, boy. All right, Topaz. Hold. You just mind yourself, fella, while I go in and bring Jack his package with the diamond ring. Hi, Jack. Here it is. And from the weight of this box, you must have bought the biggest diamond. What's wrong, fella? Looks like you lost your best friend.
I reckon I did. Come on in, Tex.
Gosh, Jack, I gotta be getting into Purple Sage with the mail.
Come in, Tex.
Okay, okay. Now, Jack, what is it?
Sam Crockett and I had a row last night over Mary. He slapped him.
Well, but if that Sam's always been ornery when he had his back up...
Tex, it was him who went for his gun first.
You mean you...
He was still alive when I left. I rode myself and sent the doctor.
Have you heard since?
No. Went over early this morning. Mary screamed at me. Just screamed that she never wanted to see me again. Tex, if I can't see Mary, talk to her, I'll kill myself.
Sam, you're talking loco.
Don't you ever call me loco. Did you hear me? Don't you ever say I'm crazy.
Well, all right, all right.
Don't ever do it, Tex, hear me?
I said all right. Now, look, Jack. I'll finish my run into Purple Sage, find out how Sam is, and just as soon as Topaz has cooled down, I'll come back out here and tell you about Sam.
Thanks, Tex, but you'll be wasting your time. Sam Crockett's dead.
Dead? How do you know?
I know. I feel it. I'll tell you this much. They're not going to throw me in jail and keep Mary away from me.
Jack, you're talking like a kid. If he threw down on you, it's only a matter of proof, and any jury in the land would set you free.
Tex, I told you. No jury's ever going to try me, because there's no one ever going to lock me up. No one's going to keep me away from Mary, and... Who's that? Who's turning in at the gate?
Gate? That's the town marshal, Jack. The marshal and the posse.
I knew it. I knew old man Crockett died. Well, it serves him right. First slapping Mary and then trying to kill me.
Now, look, Jack, don't make this any harder than it is. I reckon the marshal just wants to ask you a few questions.
You reckon?
Well, the laws are fair, Jack. The laws are for everybody. I'll go.
Howdy, Dick. Thought Topaz ground hitched outside and knew you were here. See Miss Hall?
Yeah. Come on in, boy.
Bemis, I don't hanker after this, but Sam Crockett died this morning.
Well?
I'm not aiming on treating you like a common criminal, Jay.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Now, don't get huffy. You hand over your gun, and I won't put the cuffs on you.
Go on, Jack. You know you're in the clear. You may have something to be sorry for, but nothing to be ashamed of. Go on, hand your gun to the marshal.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll hand you my gun, Marshal.
That's fine, Beamer. I'll just
take... You sure will take my gun like this?
Now, if anyone else would like to take my gun and try to lock me up...
Jack, maybe you did shoot Sam Crockett in self-defense. But you gunned down the Marshal like a cold-blooded loco...
You called me loco again. Thrawn, I told you before, and now I'm going to back. Grab his arm.
You are.
That's exactly what you are.
You let go, and I'll take the arm of gun.
Okay, I got it. Get up, Beamer. They weren't going to put cuffs on your wrist when they came out. Now all they're going to do is put a rope around your neck. All right, boys. Let's get this maniac down to jail.
You see, Doctor, the reason I didn't come over to your office but asked you to come over here to the jail is that... with the Marshal killed, I'm not aiming on leaving this jail if I can help it.
'Tis true, Doctor. And as postmaster, being sort of a representative of the government, I thought Tex and I had better stay here until we find out which way the talk is running in this town.
I understand completely. And incidentally, the talk you refer to is not running in Jack Bemis's favor.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Ever since he's been a little button, Jack's been ornery. Mean enough to make a lot of enemies. That's really the reason I want to talk to you, Doctor.
Fire away, Tex. Glad to do anything I can to help.
Now, remembering what I said about Jack being ornery all his life, well, I think maybe he's a little loco. You know, not quite like other folks in the head.
Well, there is such a thing that we medical men call emotionally unstable.
Emotionally unstable? Poppycock! The lad's as daft as a loon.
What I'm getting at is this. Doesn't the law say that instead of hanging Jack, they'd send him to a, well, to some sort of an institution?
Why, yes, Tex, but don't ever think because he's in an institution it would mean that Bemis won't be locked up for the rest of his life.
Of course not. He killed a man and should pay for it. I just don't want to see a man strung up instead of serving a life sentence if he's, well, if he's not normal in the head.
Of course, Tex, before I could say definitely that he's a mental case, I'd have to examine the boy and talk to him.
Well, not now. He's back there banging away at the bars and screaming for Mary.
That's what seems to upset him the most. The girl refusing to see him.
I reckon that if Mary would talk to him, kind of sympathize with him, we might be able to quiet him down. That's why I asked Liz to ride out to the Crockett Ranch and see if Mary wouldn't come into town with her.
It might help, or then again, it might have just the opposite effect. However, somebody better see about getting a circuit judge down here mighty quick. There's a lot of bitter talk running around Purple Sage about Jack Bemis.
Well, you let us worry about the lynch mob, Doc. You try to figure out some way of learning if Jack really is sick in the head.
Well, if Mary Crockett does come back to town with Liz, and if it quiets him any, let me know. I'll come right over and talk to him.
Doggone it, Liz, I know you tried. You don't have to make excuses.
Heck, believe me, I did everything I could. Said everything to Mary I could think of. All she'd do was just shake her head and keep mumbling, no. No, I won't see him. I'll never see Jack again.
I guess I'd feel the same way if my father had been killed right in front of my eyes.
Her father? What about you, Tex? If you hadn't been too quick for Bemis, you'd be stretched out now, too. Over at the Undertaker's.
It gives me chills just thinking of the squeak you had.
I'm not meaning to boast, but I got a notion I could and can outdraw that lunatic. And I still may have to.
Aye. Lunatic is exactly what Jack Bemis is. But on top of all that, he's mean. Mean clean through. And yet I feel like you do, Tex. I should hate myself if we just sat by and let him be strung up.
Well, I don't admire myself admitting it, but I'll be hog-tied if I know what more we can do.
If only someone could make Mary Crockett see the light, understand.
Well, I tried my best, Senator. Believe me.
Listen to that, will you? That mob's getting bigger and uglier tempered every minute.
Ted, why don't you go out and talk to Mary? She might listen to you.
Me?
You're the only one I know who might possibly make her understand that if she can quiet Jack down and the doctor can see him, we may be able to stop.
Aye, lass. To stop that.
You expect me to walk out and leave you here alone?
Alone? I don't understand you, Tex.
You understand that mob, don't you? That's what I'm talking about. The way they sound, it could happen any minute.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And, Tex, you know that even the two of us together couldn't stand them off for long.
Well, doggone, leaving here seems like running out.
Oh. Now, you tell me the name of just one person in Purple Sage who'd think Tex Thorne ran out on anything.
Of course, if you don't want to talk to Mary.
You know that's not true. I don't want to see Jack or anyone else, Lynch.
Well, then go on, Tex. Right out to the Crockett Fall, there's still time.
Well, all right. But I'm not going to leave you here, Liz. You're going back to your lunchroom where you'll be safe.
Oh, don't think I won't go.
I'm afraid I'm just wasting my time. Claire, come on. Anything but letting a lynch mob hang a man who may be sick. Mighty sick.
Lynch mob across the street.
Dick! Thorne!
Quiet, lad, quiet. You're making a nervous wreck of you and of me.
Angus, come on. Don't you know what's happening?
Now, get hold of yourself, Jack. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I guess I know when a lynch mob when I hear one.
Now. I've got a rifle in the office, a Colt on my hip. And if things look too bad, I've got keys right here to let you out of your cell.
That's better. We'll stop them. I won't stretch my neck. Not with me and you and... Where's Tex?
He'll be back soon.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you where he is.
If you want to know, he rode out of the Crockett spread to see Mary.
Tex? Tex rode out to see Mary.
He wanted to talk to her about you.
About me? Yeah. Say, Angus, come here a minute. I want to whisper something to you.
There's no one here. No need to whisper.
Where's you, I said? Come here!
Stop your yelling at me. You act like a loco. I mean, what is it, Jack?
Just a little closer, Angus, so I don't have to raise my voice. Closer, like...
For pity's sake, let go of me. I can't breathe.
If you want to go on breathing, Angus, you'll put that key in the lock and open up this cell door.
Let go of my...
Open that door. I got your gun.
You young idiot. You're not worth saving. You step outside and that mob will get you.
They will they? Come on, open up. Thanks, Angus. And you should be thankful, too. If I wasn't afraid of them hearing a shot over here, I'd gun you down. Believe me, Angus, I certainly would.
Mary, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. No man likes to see a woman cry.
Don't ask me to do it, Jack. I can't see Jack. I won't see Jack.
Well, if you don't do what I ask, maybe you'll never see him again. There's a mob in Purple Sage, Mary, and their tempers are growing shorter every minute.
You mean they'd...
A necktie party, if ever I saw one. They're all saying Jack's a born killer. A killer who's had his first taste of blood.
Yes,
the Sawbone says they're half right. That Jack isn't just like other folks. Up here, Leastwise, that's what he thinks. Now, if you're seeing Jack would quiet him down enough so the doctor could talk to him and find out for sure, well, then just the doc alone could stop that mob.
Are you sure, Dick? Are you sure?
You will come with me, won't you?
Oh, I guess so.
Good. Then give me your hands and I'll pull you up out of that chair and the two of us...
So you're leaving together, right? That's right nice to both of us.
Jack, what are you doing here? Outside the window.
They're coming in and joining you two lovebirds.
Lovebirds?
Why, sure. Nobody but lovebirds hold hands like you two was just doing.
Jack, you're crazy. There was...
Don't ever call me crazy, even when you're my wife.
Jack, do you know what you're saying? Your wife?
I sure do, fella. After we leave you here, Mary and me are heading for California. We'll get married on the way.
Jack, do you think I...
Don't argue with him, Mary. With a gun in his hand, he's got every argument won.
Yeah, I have, haven't I?
What did you mean about leaving me here?
Now, what do you think?
I figured that was what you meant. Well, I guess there's no use to wasting any of your valuable time. Even a jealous rival wouldn't try to delay your wedding trip. Mary, you better go to your room and pack a satchel. California's a long way.
Just a minute, Mary. I don't want you moving behind my back. I'll open the door and stand in it where I can keep an eye on both of you.
Thorne, Mary, he might even carry over the threshold.
You better shut up, Thorne. Get started, Mary.
Mary, look out! Mary, find the door!
It's all right, Mary. Come on out. I don't think so, Mary. Not expecting a shootout, he did kind of catch me flat-footed. But I generally hit what I aim for. And I was pretty careful to aim for his leg, I think.
Even in rawhide, tough purple sage, it's not often that a killer on trial for his life would hear a man he had tried to murder saying,
I reckon that's about all, Judge. Except I'm not asking for leniency for Jack Bemis. Just asking that in his case, you don't string him up.
Tex Thorne is absolutely right. In light of our most recent medical findings, Bemis is a mental case and should be incarcerated until he dies a natural death.
Then there are folks who work and work hard to earn their livings in Purple Sage. People with jobs like postmaster and blacksmith.
I guess you'll have to pardon me, Dupas. But ever since Jack Bemis clamped his bloody fingers around my neck, my hand isn't so steady. And I sometimes hit a hoof instead of a nail.
Then, of course, like everywhere else, there are folks in Purple Sage who eat and seem to enjoy it.
Ah, that good coffee, Liz. How about another cup?
Oh, Jack, you really are the most flattering customer I've got.
You call this flattering? Well, Liz, someday I'm going to write to a Kansas City jeweler. That is, when I learn to write, and order something that might really flatter you. That is, unless your coffee gets weak.
Oh, Jack.